Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, if you listened to part one of this set of four movies where Ryan and I played Terminal Catch-Up for having not talked for a few weeks, you'll be able to slide right into this one as we finish it up. However, if you clicked on this part two and you did not listen to part one, listen to it before or after so you get the full picture about what we're talking about, hopefully you enjoy it. Let us know what you think, and now let's just go ahead and jump back into this, shall we?
I'm trying to figure out what else that we haven't talked about already. You haven't seen Dream Scenario. You wouldn't have watched those two that I'm talking about. We talked about Color Work. Did you watch The Boys in the Boat?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
Okay, so The Boys in the Boat comes out on Christmas, apparently. Yes. But it came off embargo 3 days ago, so we can talk about it. This is an Amazon picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of the 1936 University of Washington 8-man crew team.
Yeah.
Crew is, of course, the guys that row fast. And they race. So, yes, University of Washington, not the best crew program. Just trying to really beat the University of California.
Yeah.
Stuff and maybe be competitive with the schools back east, you know, the Ivy League rich kids, because University of Washington is not rich. It's a bunch of poor kids. It's in the middle of the Depression. There's also a glimmer of hope that a team from America will qualify to go to Berlin for the Olympics.
And it being the Berlin Olympics, this is the probably one of the more famous Olympics, because this was Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Jesse Owens.
And there's a Jesse Owens story that kind of parallels this. Part of the question was, okay, are they going to squeeze the Jesse Owens story into this? You almost have to.
Yeah. To be honest, that's like the weakest part, is they just kind of brush it over.
Well, but they included it.
They included him in there because, yeah, they had to, but this is not.
But what he says, the one line of dialogue they give him is pretty darn good.
Well, yeah. It's just incredibly on the nose. So yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
So.
But if you're only going to give him one line, it better be on the nose.
And so there's that part of me that's like, okay.
I'll allow it because that's all we get. So this is about a group of eight students who are plucked to man the junior boat.
Yeah.
The JV boat.
They're not even the A team.
Right. These are guys that have not spent their life rowing.
And a lot of them are only doing it because they can't afford school otherwise.
This is
their scholarship.
Him and his friend that gets him to go for it. If you make the team, you get room and food.
Yeah, and that's why they're there.
That is literally why they decide to do it. And it turns out this is one of those that if you just wrote the story, no one would buy it.
Probably because this is kind of an idyllic Americana. This is the work hard, and you'll be given a chance. But there is also an element in there where class and whatnot does come into play.
Well, and the fact that this is like based on a true story. Like I said, if you wrote this, no one would believe you.
Yeah, because it does feel contrived in a certain way. Because there's no way that
there's
would
no
happen.
Way. But you know what's great about sport is that there's always a way.
Yeah.
So that's what's great just about sport in general. You're like, how does that happen? Sure. Well, that's why it's sport.
Yeah.
That's why they play the game, unless you're NCAA football, in which case that's why you have a committee. Yeah.
Florida State loves you at this moment.
I know they do. But that's mostly because I hate Alabama. Thank you. Good night. No. Here's the thing. Joel Edgerton is the coach of the University of Washington Huskies crew team who puts this team together because he's just trying. He was not happy with last year's effort. And he goes, I have to do something. I've got this front boat. And he goes, let's see what we can do with the junior boat.
Because, quite frankly, he needs to keep his job.
He needs to keep his job.
And there is that element of, look, you gotta, you know, this is the Depression. Money is tight. You know, you don't perform.
Yep.
You know, what's the point of, if you're not, anyway.
Yeah.
Same story that there always is. But essentially, if you can't give us a good reason for why we should give you money,
then we won't. That's if you can't give us a good reason to give you money, we won't. So Edgerton is the coach, and always a solid performance from Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
And this is no exception. You touched on it. This is really, old school, Americana. It's, this, so this is like Cinderella Man. This is, it's got that feel to it because during the Depression, a lot of times that attitude was almost what kept you alive.
It's romantic in a way. It is a film that there's not a lot of hope, but somehow it is hopeful.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the appeal of this is that element of the sometimes things do go the way they should.
The way they should. I mean,
yes.
The way they deserve to. But you look at it, you go, there's no way that should happen. But it's the way it deserves to happen. I kind of refer to this. This is like America's Chariots of Fire.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Never watched Chariots of Fire, I know it's a slow English film.
I don't know, but it, well, I guess
it is
considering it's a movie about running.
I know, right? I love it. I love Chariots of Fire. Best picture out of nowhere. Who would have thunk it? But so this is like America's Chariots of Fire.
It's that era because we also have the Miracle on Ice type stuff,
right?
That falls into this, but because that's the 80s, there's a completely different feel to that particular story,
mm-hmm.
to what they're up against. It's fascinating to me to think that there was a time where they would broadcast on radio these races, like. Really?
That's all they had. Let's talk about crew for a minute. I know we talk about the movie, what I loved about this, I had no idea, is that in Washington, California, wherever they were holding these, whatever river where they were on, it's like it was like a 2 mile race on the river. And there was a train track that ran along the river. And they put spectator cars. They were like bleachers on flatbeds.
Yeah.
And they ran the train so you could follow the race. I thought
I hope that stuff is true. There's
a time when weird sports were. I mean, that's Seabiscuit with people on the infield, which had never been done before Seabiscuit. You know, on the infield of the racetrack. So, I mean, but again, that's another Depression era. So, you know, you've got Cinderella Man, you've got Secretariat or Seabiscuit, you've got, yeah, you know, Chariots of Fire. You've got all of these. This is very evocative of a lot of them, of a lot of those. And that's the only part about this that I kind of knock it down on, is that it's not better than any of those. So I think it's good, and I know there's some people that hate this movie, just flat. They hate it.
Well, they hate the existence of it.
That's an episode in and of itself, which we don't normally delve into. But I love it because, again, this is, you know, it's almost a survival movie. It's you know, it's a teamwork movie. It's there's a little Hoosiers-esque to it. You know, it's just sport is always a compelling story. Underdog sport is great, but then you throw in, you know, just survival sport in this, you know, and I don't mean in a Hunger Games kind of way.
No, but it, like, you know,
but it almost felt that way a couple times.
Well, Hunger Games does have to have basis in reality to a certain extent.
Yeah. Work.
I mean, I think here's the thing with this film. It isn't about race. And there are a lot of people who would like to point out that it's a very white movie.
Yes.
It's a very Caucasian film. And I might take issue with that if that wasn't how it was
literally.
You know, and I don't know that it was 100% as it is in this film. But I don't think this film is a specifically about race.
Now, it is so much more about class than it ever could be about race.
Exactly. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Now, is there a race element to it? Yes, to a certain degree, but that's history. You know,
I'm sorry, sir. We're going to have to ask you to take your common sense outside.
I know, but, so there may be some people who aren't interested in the story because of that reason. And that's, I have no issue with someone who says, well, I don't really need to see that story because it doesn't speak to me, or I've already seen it. That's fine. I think that's an absolute legitimate response to
that. Can be said about every movie by somebody.
Yes.
So,
I don't think this film addresses race more than that one or two moments.
Right.
And the way that it addresses race in those one or two moments, I found be surprisingly satisfying. Like, okay, you just acknowledge something that's not what this film is about, but you acknowledged another aspect of society.
Yes,
but you with that, you know, I mean, it's,
specifically to me, in that time, but generally,
yes,
as well.
Yes,
yes.
And I thought, and again, I thought that moment, It was more than what I was expecting, to be honest. I mean, obviously you can't do this story and not have Jesse Owens in it. You just can't.
No.
Unless you're a Nazi. If you're a Nazi, you could probably write Jesse Owens out of the story because, you know, it's one of those things you prefer to think that never happened.
Yeah.
But it did. And it's one of the greatest sports stories of all time. That happens to coincide with another really good sports story that, you know, is about something different yet similar. And again, as you said, it's about class. And it's about, people wanting to, you know, have the status quo to an extreme at a couple times in this film. And then you also have people who are willing to push against the status quo.
Yep.
Who are willing to say, you know what, that, as you put it earlier, that's sport. there's a reason why, you know, sports played such a huge part of civil rights. Because you can't, you know, who wins the game? Are they the best? Well, yeah, sports says so.
Sports says so.
And, you know, to whatever your personal, you know, I guess, standard is, well, if your standard is the best players of the game win on, you know, out in the field or whatnot, well, and they do.
That's called, that's called a meritocracy, and some people still don't want that.
Anyway, but
so, look, I
don't know really anything about rowing. I can't even think Fincher's film, the social, whatever with, the twins, the
Social Network.
Anyway, Social Network. There we go.
Winklevoss. I actually, if you haven't watched it, and you want to watch it, watch The Novice with, Isabel Furman, as a freshman single, well, not a single, but a crew aspiree. Not as inspirational as this. That is a dark film. However, if you want to see more crew and what actually goes into it, that movie's nuts. It's awesome. It's incredible. She's phenomenal in it. And if you haven't watched it, I would recommend that if you want to see more crew from a completely different standpoint. But yeah, I know crew is hard. That's what I know. I know those guys are just insanely fit and strong, and coordinated to do eight people to do anything in perfect unison.
Well, and I think there's also that element of, the time period and their status and it is more than just an underdog story because they're just not expected to compete
anywhere at any level.
Yes. How can they compete if, you know, we aren't spending a ton of money on them? How can they compete if we're, you know, it just kind of flies against.
If they're walking around stuffing newspaper in their shoes because they have holes in the bottom.
Yes. How in the world can those guys, those kids who, you know, come from undignified homes or whatever, because, I mean, there's some family stuff in this that is just not great either. So you do also have a situation of, and I think this is a very contemporary thing, but people are very upset with the fact that there are kids who will go to a mentor, like a teacher, and be open and, but the thing is a lot of people will respond to love and understanding and someone who will listen to them, mm-hmm. someone who will see them as more than just, you know, a kid or whatever, or as a burden, or as, you know, it's the whole father figure thing. Yep. But that hasn't changed. That still exists. Class, to a certain extent, has changed a bit, but not as much, I think, as we would like to think it has. So, this film isn't about race, although there are social elements to it. Mm. And again, if you want a movie that is dealing with race, well, there are other options.
There are far more. But again, I love this movie because it appeals to a lot of things that are that I just flat out enjoy. The sports, team sports, you know, it's almost militaristic in a lot of ways what these guys go through. You've got the historical aspect of it. So there's a lot of things for me to like about this movie. I understand that not everyone feels that way. But I think it's all, and again, as good as Joel Edgerton is in this, I think George Clooney directed. I haven't said George Clooney yet. I said he should be proud of this movie And I hope he is. And I hope people are proud of it as well. I really do. But, you know, for reasons that we've touched on, you know, some people might take offense to it simply because of what it is. And well, they don't like that.
And because they would like, I mean, Clooney, you know, is, I think, someone who has at times been, you know, really political. I don't think this film is very political.
No, I don't. I think he set out to make a story about eight guys in a boat. Well,
And I think they would like it to be. I think that's part of the problem, is they think George Clooney could make a political film. Why didn't he?
Right.
And, you know, because he wanted to tell this story, and that, you know, the elements of this story, the conflict in this story is something different.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, you know, I thought it was good. I don't know that I'd rave about it, but I thought it was really quite good.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I mean, I love the redemptive aspect of one of the boys in the boat, who comes in late. I found that was a nice, I was like, I wasn't expecting that. But you know, somebody gets a shot at redemption, and you know, it's not always just about the guys on the field, so to speak. Sometimes it's about the guy calling the plays. So I thought that was a great, cause he was again, in the same boat as them, figuratively and literally.
Well, and it's the nature of that particular sport.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, we praise coaches a lot, you know, and we love, like, I guess in football, you talk about how the quarterback is the captain.
Yep.
Well, there's elements of both coach and captain in this of the, you know,
the coxman.
The coxman, yeah.
Yes. I know, people. It's with an X. Slow your roll.
Well, or not. And, you know, that's a unique to, I don't know if it's unique to this sport only, but to, you know, it's certainly not something that, you know, he's not rowing.
No.
But he's still, you know, if he's not good at what he does,
right.
He's not good
at what they did. He's a strategist, a tactician, a motivator, a psychologist. It is, you know, you find sports where, you know, quarterback, for, you know, for example, you can look back through history and find quarterbacks that might fulfill all those roles. You go to basketball, you find a player like, you know, Stockton as a point guard, knew everything that was going on and made everyone better. Larry Bird is this, Michael Jordan is, but Michael Jordan was able to do it by himself. So it's not really the same thing, but you know, in a lot of sports there's equivalent, but in this one, there's one guy who sits there and calls it. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah. In a lot of times it's a combination of elements that have to come together, and you know, that's kind of what, I mean, there's a real team aspect to this, even more so than a lot of other sports, particularly team sports. I mean, because there is that idea of if you're out of sync, if one person is out of sync, it can be devastating.
The other seven guys cannot make up for you.
Yeah.
And another sport, somebody else, everyone else can maybe pick it up. At some point, honestly, I thought they were going to tell one guy, just like, just take your oar out and have the other seven guys row that much harder. You know what I mean? At one point, I thought that was going to happen, but it didn't. But it's like, I didn't read the history of it. And I was like, oh my God, I could just, that would have been Hollywood. There's no way that could happen in real life. There's just no way. But in Hollywood, it could. So, you know, again, it's just, if you wrote this, no one would buy it. So it's just that much better, but I think Clooney did a great job. I think it shot gorgeously. There's so many just beautiful shots on the river and the motion of the oars. And it's just, it's also a pretty film to watch. So I think it's got a great story and it's really pretty.
Yeah. Great warmth kind of.
Yeah. And the score is fairly minimal. It's just really effective. It's never overbearing, which is nice. I mean, movies like, I really like the music in The Killer, the Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
In Joshua. But again, that's yeah. really overbearing music, but it fits yeah. the film. That wouldn't fit here. And if you underplayed The Killer, it wouldn't be the same. So this score does what it needs to do. And I think it does it really well as well. I think there's a lot of really good pieces in this. And I think Clooney's put together a really good product. In the old days, this is the same kind of awards bait that Chariots of Fire or any of the Merchant Ivory stuff. I mentioned Merchant Ivory a lot. Those things they're just crafted to be so good. You can't really find fault with them. You might not like them, but you can't say, well, it's not well acted. It's not well written. It's not well shot. I just didn't care for it. This is one of those kind of films. Does it rise quite to that level? Probably not. But it's just one of those things where he just puts together a really solid film that you can't really pick apart. That doesn't make it a masterpiece, but it's just one of those films. Yeah.
The risk versus reward on this one. There's the risk. I mean, because it is for the most part a uplifting story that is based on, something that actually happened. It's bound to, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's maybe it's too pleasant.
How sad is that when that's what we want to start? It's too happy. It's too positive.
Yeah.
But it's not saccharine sweet positive.
No, but I also think that, I think it will always be a good film. I don't know that it will ever be a great film. If that, I think it ages just fine.
Yeah,
because of what it is and where it's set and what it does. But I don't think this is going to. I guess it could get Best Picture nomination, but if it wins, I don't know that it's really indicative of the time.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. If they, 10 pictures nominations, sure, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, if it was to win, I'd be like,
why? Well,
it's tough to just go in and go, no, this film can't because, but you could point to other films and go, yeah, but probably these ones. I think it's more hamstrung by what's around it than what it is.
Does
that make sense?
Yes, because when we look back, if this was to win, it'd be, well, why not this or this?
Right.
I think it's a solid film. I think it's a film that I know that my family will enjoy. It doesn't challenge you in ways that, at least, that would challenge, my family isn't tied to any sort of idyllic class structure sort of thing. We're lower middle class sort of people who do the best with what we're given, and that's not too far off from what, they're lower, but everyone was lower during the Depression.
Yeah.
It's a pretty safe watch, but I think most people, given if that's the sort of film they enjoy, that they will enjoy it. If you want it to be a movie that's about things that it's not about, you're not gonna, maybe you can't connect to this, and I can understand that.
Right.
To a certain degree, how do I connect to it? I don't know that I do. I can at least, enjoy the story, and I could watch it again.
Yeah.
I'd have no problem if someone wanted, where there are some films that, I don't know that you could get me to watch that again.
Yeah.
You've already given it a little anyway, but no. So I think it's a good film. I think it's good. I think that, there will be some who love it just for the nostalgia of the time that it evokes and the style of filmmaking that it evokes.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us. You know, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast. Same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Is there an embargo on the movie you saw last night?
Yesterday.
Okay.
However, if you have time, we can certainly talk about it.
I think it actually comes in really good because it falls sort of in
the sport biopic
what we're talking about. Yes,
fair enough. Let's do it, and it's from one of our favorite studios.
Yeah,
A24.
So, yeah, A24, and I don't. So, we're, the Iron Claw.
Yes.
Which, I don't know what it is about wrestling films. A boxing film is something, I guess, that you think there is a stigma in wrestling that actually this film talks about directly in a wonderful, wonderful way, where there's the conversation about wrestling. Well, it's predetermined, right? Like,
yes, yeah, and what, no.
And the answer to it is, well, if you're not good, you won't be chosen to win.
Right.
You know, to a certain extent, it's about the performance, the presentation, the illusion, the spectacle, which I guess you could argue is not all that different from, I don't know, gymnastics, or, you know, it's how well do you perform the tricks.
Right. Yeah. The tricks.
But with, you know, with a certain element of, how charismatic are you? But if you've ever watched a floor routine in gymnastics, personality is a huge, or even ice skating.
Yes.
You know, it's supposed to be all about fundamentals, but if you're not charismatic, you're not going to win.
I, Tanya.
And so there's, well, yeah, exactly. yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
But what is it about? You know, this is a family drama, a family of wrestlers who, it is said, is a cursed family. Again, based on true story.
Yes, the Von Erich brothers.
Yeah, why in the world would I connect to anybody in this film? I don't know. But guess what?
You do.
I do.
I was shocked. Look, let's real quick. Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, Harris Dickinson. The physical transformation on these guys is insane. Because Zac Efron's always he's a fit dude, right?
Oh, but man. Oh,
But then you look at Harris Dickinson, Triangle of Sadness. He's on Hulu right now. Murder at the End of the World or Top of the World. Not a big dude. Tall dude. Not a big dude. Huge in this. I mean, for him, I mean, it's he's not as big as Zac Efron is. But for him, but he's huge.
Zach is so big that the movie Ken, but the actual Ken doll that, you know, was ripped eye, whatever.
Right.
It's just it's so envious of what this guy looks like.
Yeah. So this is late '70s, early '80s. And it regional, this is pre dominance of WWF, WWE. Right. Yeah, so they're in Texas.
The rising of that.
Yeah. Right. So, you look at these guys' builds and it's almost comical. But as a kid, I watched wrestling late 70s, early 80s. The feel and look of this movie and the wrestling and the wrestlers is so spot on. It's eerie. It fits exactly the way I remember all of that before I went away from wrestling.
And I think that's a lot, you know, a lot of us watched wrestling as a kid. I absolutely did, you know, and this was the glory days of, you know, WWF, which is now WWE, but, you know, it was probably about where this film ends is where my interest in wrestling started as a kid, you know, and it did wane, you know, it lasted, I don't know, until I was in my early teens, but you know, there's just something about you know, this film, The Wrestler, which came out a few years ago, that it just feels so universal that it's scary. It's because, again, I don't, you know, they're simplistic way at life to a certain extent. Just the family dynamic. I don't know.
It is absolutely the family dynamic. I mean, and the whole thing is, you know, Zac Efron is our protagonist. He's our through line here.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times he says brothers.
No, it's in this all movie. About family.
It is all about him and his brothers, and his brothers.
This is more about family than the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. If that's possible. Yes. Absolutely. if that's possible. The family in this is, I mean, these are four sons who, I called this is an affecting family drama because it will affect you. If you have a family and parents, you will be affected by this. But their lives revolve around their father's dreams.
Yeah.
His transplanted dreams and his transplanted griefs and whatnot. But they don't realize that until much, 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 much later in their lives.
Yeah.
Sometimes not till the end of them. But.
Or the end of someone else's.
So. That is what is great because this isn't a father having hopes for his children, as all fathers do. This is a father who views his children as a means to an end.
Achieve what he didn't.
What they did not allow him to do. He's a grievance driven man. But also a God-fearing one, which is really weird. But he also, in his own nearly abusive way, loves his family.
Nearly. In his abusive way.
Okay. More psychological abuse or emotional abuse. There's a lot of emotional blackmail in this film.
But in this film also goes into how that impacts these individuals on a physical level.
Yes.
Because a lot of the damage that they, you know, wrestling is not easy.
No.
Wrestling is very physical. Wrestling, even though it's quote unquote fake, there's a lot of physicality to it. There's a lot of ways to get hurt doing what they're doing. So it's hard for me to say it's fake. I don't think it's fake.
No,
it's choreographed, but these people are, performers that really we probably, I watch a movie like this and think, okay, I really should respect them more maybe than I do.
You have to respect their athleticism.
Yes, there's they do things that
mere mortals cannot.
No.
So no matter how much 8-year-old me tried.
Well, and how insane you are to even try to do half the stuff they do, particularly as an adult, and but there's just some great performances in this. I think Zac Efron, every once in a while, and this happens, I think their films were, he was burdened by the fact that he was in a very pop culture, he came to be popular because of a very pop culture movie series in high school, musical, which wasn't viewed as maybe being upper shell,
right?
So he's had to kind of maybe work a little harder than some actors would have to kind of prove himself to maybe people who aren't as impressed with the fact that he's a very attractive person. Because he is, in this film, he's extremely intimidating. Like, it's like, how do you get ripped like that?
I
have no idea.
They had to have done like a year long boot camp because it's crazy. It's absolutely
this is even
insane.
More so. Well, I thought it, what Hugh Jackman does for the Wolverine is insane. And this might be.
And Hemsworth does for Thor.
Yes. And this might be the one step beyond that.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where it's like, how do you function, man? How do you use those arms?
You barely can if you watch them, you watch him and run. Because even his fingers are huge.
Yeah.
When you look at his hands are huge. It's just, just from a physical standpoint, this film is amazing. But the look of it, the feel of it.
There's a grittiness, there's a realness to it.
And then you throw in a great family drama. And I walked out and I was like, oh my God, not what I was really expecting. There were parts where I laughed at the wrestling, but only because I remember it. Like, sure. I remember that. Yep. I'm laughing with, not at.
It's weird because the movie is a good, family drama with dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
It also is somewhat of a biopic history. Yep. In that it's a study of the early days of wrestling, or before it became what we know to be now, which is, in itself, I don't know, it shouldn't be as fascinating as it is, but it is. It's incredibly fascinating. I mean, all that, the history of wrestling, and still to this day, working your way up the rungs, and whatnot. There's something really compelling. So this is, if you just want to go in for a history lesson in wrestling, that's there. If you want to go in for something that has great acting, that's there. If you want to go into something that has a really good script, that's there too.
I know.
Is it a perfect movie? I don't know, but it takes you again. This is another story that if it wasn't true,
yeah, there's just no way. It's like, if you wrote it, no one would buy it.
But again, maybe that's why it's a great story.
Yeah.
Because you would never, you know, think, okay, maybe one or two of these things could happen, but certainly not
all of them. And just boom, boom, boom. It's like, yeah, it's like they might be cursed. If curses are real, they might actually be cursed. They actually are. But the curse sits in the easy chair behind the desk.
I was going to say there is a curse. But if you watch the film, it's a self-manifesting curse.
Yeah.
It's a curse that was put on them by father.
Yeah.
And it's you know, and that is why it's also such a tragic story.
Yes.
Because it is so much about we love and we believe in what we were taught by our mother, who was religious. She's the more religious of the two. I think dad probably just maybe loved her and kind of put up with it. And then there, you know, but there's also, you know, essentially these kids were raised with a certain ideology of if you're the toughest person, that you know you're gonna win.
Yep.
So you got to be tough. You know, and it's a very, I guess, from the religious side, it kind of feels like Old Testament religion,
right?
You know,
that's probably really good, really good.
Yeah. Analogy. Rather than, you know, that's they live Old Testament.
Yeah, kind of, he's
you know,
he's Abraham.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of places, you know, it's like, oh, next one up, you know, yeah. And well, it's like, dude, take a breath.
There's Life's Not Fair could also be the subtitle to this one.
Well, what's funny, had we not had the great Florence Pugh vehicle Fighting for My Family, sure, they could have used that as the title.
Yeah.
Because it fits.
That's again another wrestling movie based on a true story that
I know.
Why you know, what is it about these? And maybe it's because we underestimate them as athletes, or we see them as these characters because they often take on you know, something that is beyond and not exactly themselves, or you know, an exaggerated version of themselves, or even a character that has absolutely nothing to do with them.
Yep.
It is fascinating, I guess. You know, from a lot of different angles, just the way that wrestlers are not what they're made out to be. You know, there's far more to them, I guess. And so it's a true underdog story because they have to convince you, first of all, that they're, you know, should be taken seriously. Which they probably shouldn't have to, but they do. And this film does a wonderful job about that. And I don't know. I mean, I just, again, this is not the sort of film that I could write. It's not the sort of film that I could make. But wow.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. There's not a ton to pick apart. In this, you know, Maura Tierney is mom. She's always great. Lily James is Zac Efron's girlfriend / wife. She's good. She provides this grounding force, but who also
the outside,
yeah, but who also exposes him to things beyond the family. But she actually keeps him grounded in terms of his brothers, if not his dad. So she does play a pivotal role in giving him an extended family.
And you know, not to give anything away, but that might be the difference.
Yeah. Well, the movie probably wouldn't have gone on as long as it did.
Well,
from his point of view.
Well, no. You know, and there were, you know, I think you can kind of see where everything's going pretty early, even if you don't know the story,
right.
But it's the, you know, it's one of the more compelling games of chess that you'll ever watch. You know, 'cause in chess, you know, things are going to fall.
Yeah.
it's inevitable. And with this film, it feels even more inevitable.
Yeah.
That you know, the story that of course this is going to happen. Of course this is going to happen, but it happens and you're still, it still hurts.
Yeah.
You're still devastated by what has happened. And I think that's where it's a, you know, the film's just above average, if not exceptional in that, because again, we kind of know what's going to happen. And we know what we hope to happen, and we know that what we hope probably isn't going to happen. And you know, it's just a tragic story that's all about love.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, I don't know. I just was really moved, more so than by it than I thought I would be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was not expecting to come out feeling about this movie the way I did and do. It's shockingly easily top 20 film of the year,
and I think it's top 10 easy for me.
I've seen so many I would actually have to sit down. We've both been blowing through these, but I would not be shocked if I got my list and I was like, yep, there it is, top 10.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me at all once I actually sat down and ranked it. But it's easily one of the better films that I've seen all year, if not one of the best films. It's shocking to say that about a movie about 80s wrestling. that's just weird.
But again, it's weird. And but there's but I kind of like that too.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I've always been into movies and watching movies. It's sometimes the ones that you think, I got no in on this. How are they going to pull me in? How are they going to, they're going to make them human. They're going to do, you know, they're going to present interesting ideas that transcend,
the
situation that they're in. You know, I mean, you probably did never have to watch a second of wrestling to connect with this.
No, I don't think you would.
Now some of the I guess cameos or some of the side characters or whatnot are more interesting if you do have a sense of you know who they are.
Yeah, wrestling lore.
There's some, you know. So, I mean. But there's some personalities in there that you're like, oh, that's so good. Because that's, you know, you see an actor, again, putting on some of the guys or someone else, and they're just like, it's like, yeah, you got
you,
the heart.
You have an actor playing right, a character who was playing a character.
Yeah. It is, but there's a fun element to some of that. So if you know wrestling, there are names that pop up that you go, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Yep.
You know,
like I said, and that's where I would just laugh. I'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh yeah, there it is. And it's just, and it, you know, so from a nostalgia standpoint, it, you know, if you're old enough, it hit there too.
Yeah, and the behind the scenes sort of element to it as well. There's just, to me, you know, it's just so compelling.
Yeah.
Maybe because it is so foreign, and yet what is being said and everything about it is also applicable to people who don't wrestle. It's a very wrestling centric movie, but that isn't going to limit, you know, the audience.
No.
It shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't. And I hope it doesn't. It deserves to be seen for more than the wrestling bits. So that's four movies, right?
Love it.
Yeah. So we talked about Wonka. We talked about The Color Purple. We talked about The Boys in the Boat. We talked about The Iron Claw. So yes. So we covered four movies, just four of the multitudinous amount of films that we're going to talk about, that we still need to talk about. And we are going to talk about. So Wonka, Ryan liked it more than I did. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
The Color Purple.
I liked it more.
You liked it more, but you didn't like it as much as Wonka. The Boys in the Boat, I liked it more than Ryan, but he did like it.
Yeah, but I did like it.
And The Iron Claw, that might be the best. That might be the best movie we talked about today. And I really liked The Boys in the Boat.
Yeah, You know, we snuck into Maestro in there as well.
We did. So, yeah, we did talk about Maestro again a little bit.
Hey, everyone, just a quick editorial break here. If you want to hear me and Ryan talk about Maestro in terms of these other films, you're going to have to clip over to the 10 or 12 minute cutout piece that I had to delete out of this one for time, but it is dramatically called Clooney versus Cooper. So check that out if you want to. And now let's just jump back into finishing this episode.
Yeah, it's...
Which, another film that I, you know, that's up in the conversation for at least acting and directing and whatnot. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, I don't want to hear that there weren't any good movies this
year
from anybody.
Nobody can say there weren't any good movies this year because that is a lie. That would just be
but someone will inevitably someone will say, I can't find five movies I like this year.
That's a lie. Now, the rest of the group might not agree with your five, but that would be a lie. So and I'm sure I'll have one. People will be like, what are you putting in? And at least one category, someone's going to look at me askance, I'm sure. So, but yeah, so we're going to talk about those other films as well. Yeah. We're going to talk about the movies that are coming out as soon as we screen. Well, as soon as we can after we screen them. But that's it. This is a long, long episode, and I apologize, but I hope you enjoyed it and learned some stuff about how we think about movies and how these four particular movies are. Until we talk again, don't forget to like us, follow us on social media, all the social medias. Just search for Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. It might be all four of those words. It might be VS Movie Podcast. Depends on the outlet. Go to the website, vsmoviepodcast.com. And until we talk to you again, I am Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
Thanks, friends.
And we will talk to everyone later.